Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.
That's the sound of another sale on Shopify, in store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. Shopify.com/retail23.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
We're back on the road this April with our live show, Cocaine Cowboys. If you want to hear the story of Ireland's love affair with Colombian powder and those who made millions in the gold rush, join us in Galway's Town Hall Theatre on Saturday, 6th of April, Killarney's INEC on Saturday, the 13th of April.
Tickets for Belfast's show have sold out on Ticketmaster.ie, but limited availability remains at ulsterhall.co.uk. That's ulsterhall.co.uk.
She got an apartment in Navan for 89,000. They bought another one then across the river, also in Navan as well, slightly more upmarket, obviously. And then the apartment in North Lots, I think, was bought for 145,000 and then sold for 229,000. And that is one of the targets of CAB. They want to seize this 229,000 as well as the 88 items of luxury goods.
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you're listening to Crime World, a podcast about criminals, drugs, and the sins of the underworld in Ireland and across the globe.
An Aladdin's cave of luxury items is seized from a woman allegedly linked to a Chinese drugs gang. And now the Criminal Assets Bureau are looking for a court order to declare 88 items and cash as the proceeds of crime. So who is Yan Yan Fan, and how did she collect such a treasure trove of designer goods on a €30,000 a year salary? Today, I'm talking with Eamon Dillon about fur coats, gold jewellery, and a handbag deemed to be one of the most exclusive in the world. This is Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com. Eamon.
Nicola, how are you?
Good morning. What occurred in the courts? You were attending court on Friday because there was a Criminal Assets Bureau hearing our case and there was somebody going to defend themselves, which sounded like it was going to be entertaining.
Yeah, it's unusual. Well, it's not unusual in the sense that lots of people try, but they rarely get to the full hearing. They usually end up conceding or settling at some point rather than face the trauma going through it. But Yan Yan Fan seemed to be quite eager to have our case heard. Throughout, you know, as the list was going through every month, she'd turn up without fail and she'd ask the judge, like, you know, when am I going to get to put my side of the story? And he'd explain again, look, you got to put in your affidavits. This, you know, this isn't like a, you know, the district court or a circuit court where you give up, you stand up and you give oral evidence. All your evidence is given through sworn affidavits. So she did all that. I think she ended up doing 6 sworn affidavits. So she got the hang of that as well. Mm-hmm. And she turned up on the day and faced off against counsel for CAB, I think it was Jim Benson. Right. So she was taking on, you know, top professional. And she gave it loads.
I mean, so how does it work, like, when somebody does that, defends themselves essentially against the case?
Again, it's you're not cross-examining witnesses. I mean, basically what you're doing is, you know, CAB, counsel for CAB start off and they kind of outline their case to the judge and they say, you know, we got 47 different affidavits. The main thrust of our case in this one is that, you know, the woman is, you know, at hand and there was another man, a co-respondent, that they were linked to a major cannabis growing operation and that she had a role in it, which was managing properties. and laundering the money from the proceeds. So this is what they're kind of putting forward. They're saying these are all in the affidavits, and that was the main thrust of it. And then to back up, you know, the main thrust of it, then they're saying, you know, when we raided this house, we found in her apartment 88 items of designer goods.
Where was her apartment?
Well, she there was a number of properties, but she's currently living in inner city Dublin, like actually quite close to the CCJ, the Courts of Criminal Justice. But she'd also lived in North Lots, I think, as well. And there was another apartment, Customs Hall, which was the subject of the raid at the time, which was in March 21. And it was that raid which pretty much, you know, a lot of that, nearly from that, all the evidence in the case by cab is what it came against her. So this is the way they kind of go through all the affidavits, and they say, you know, like she didn't have a normal job. You know, she didn't have a job that would explain, you know, why she had 12 different bank accounts that she controlled in various people's names, including two each from each of her parents, her own one, I think, one in the name of another relative, and I think another former roommate or somebody. So she had all these various bank accounts, which they said 1.7 million went through over the course of their... Well, it's wow and not wow in that it's between 2005 and 2020.
Okay.
So it's over 15 years.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, there was a lot of kind of 3,000 euro and 4,000, 5,000 euro cash lodgements at ATMs, like in Dublin city centre.
Were each of those part of those 88 items of assets that they were referring to, or were the assets they were referring to actual designer goods?
Well, no, there were designer goods now. There were various bits and bobs. There was a Hermes purse was mentioned. There was a Birkin bag, which apparently are very exclusive and they only sell to worthy customers, in case you're ever looking for one, Nicola.
How much?
I have no idea, but I'm sure if they're going that much.
I have a big birthday coming up, actually.
And, there's Jimmy Choo shoes. There was another make of shoes, which I wasn't familiar with and couldn't spell.
I've
sounds right, actually, yeah. She had her own BT Platinum card. She actually works there now, believe it or not, as a sales assistant.
I have none of those things. What have I done wrong?
We should have been consultants of some kind, you know, where we can charge people 50 grand a week for saying, yes, there might be someone who wants to kill you.
Yeah, we could do that, you know, it's sort of part of our retirement plan. But anyway, we digress. So she's moving all this money through these accounts over a period of time.
Yeah.
And
so this is what CAB are alleging. If we stick with the way you started it, they're putting all their application, you know, they're referring to what's on all the affidavits, and that there was various amounts of transactions then from China as well, just under the 45,000 where you need to declare it. It was, you know, 44,000 and stuff like that. What she said was from her parents, that she's a spoiled child. She's an only child, which is not unusual in China, where they had a one child policy for decades, and that her father was a former civil servant, her mother had a fruit business, and they started off, she was pregnant, they wanted her to come home, so they had bought her an apartment in China, which then decided they'd sell. And of course it was at the bottom of the market in Ireland. She got an apartment in Navan for 89,000, but didn't particularly like it. You know, it was too much traveling into Dublin city centre where she worked. She felt it was in a rough neighbourhood, she said. They bought another one then across the river, also in Navan as well, slightly more upmarket, obviously. I can't remember the exact price off the top of my head, but it was in the region of, I don't know, 220,000-something. And then the apartment in North Lots, I think, was bought. And that was bought for 145,000 and then sold for 229,000, which is now resting in the bank account of a solicitor. And that is one of the targets of CAB. They want to seize this 229,000 as well as the 88 items of luxury goods. There was a fair bit of cash found in her apartment, which she says most of it wasn't hers. It belonged to this guy, Jin Wang. Well, it's Wang anyway. I'm not sure if I got the first part of his name right. But Guan Yin Wang is his name. Now, he's actually, we know, this is again mentioned at the start, you know, we're still on the CAB side here, right? Mm. So they said, look, this guy is incarcerated. He's serving time in prison in Ireland. He was linked to various... grow houses that were discovered around the country. There was one of them in Henrietta Place in Dublin in 2012. I know there was one near Bandon in Cork. There was one in Mayo. Some of them were quite big. I think one of the seizures was 1.1 million, and there was something like whatever the number of plants that were taken from that, twice that had been harvested from it already. So even though they caught £1 million worth, it was suggesting that, you know, another 2 million had already.
These in rental properties, or had they purchased?
Yeah, no, these apparently were rental properties, and this is what Cab's argument was, though, was that this was her job to get these apartments, and she would have been collated according to their evidence from the guards. She would have been collated near these properties, or in some cases was actually her name was on the lease and would have had access to them at the time, and would have been, she would have been tightly linked to some of these properties. And then there was a third man as well, who is gone from the jurisdiction, who was involved in various crimes as well, including one in which a person was held against their will until money was paid over. I think it was quite a large sum, like €59,000. And again, they also mentioned that there were suspicions about her own lending of money to people as well. And this is all the kind of the case before lunch on the Friday.
About her lending money. Money lender.
Yeah, and so that was their argument. So I mean, it was a pretty kind of full on sort of, you know, she's a senior operative in, you know, a transnational cannabis growing operation, and her role was renting properties and laundering the cash, and that's their argument, and that's the way they put it. So kind of they're breaking up for lunch then, and she stands up and you said, judge is saying, look, we'll be back at 2 o'clock, and she says, well, am I going to be able to put my case then? And he, yes, of course you will. And you know, it came back then, and Cab for Counsel finished off his little bits, and then she got going on her, like, and she understood perfectly, you know, how the system worked. The judge was saying, look, you can't introduce new evidence here now verbally, you know, or, you know, you can't do oral evidence. It already has to be in the affidavits. You had plenty of time. So if there's something you want to include, it's too late. You should have done it. And she
allowed to refer to her affidavits.
Yeah, yeah. And she would have. And she had she had some of her paperwork with her. And, you know, and she blasted away at some of the main things that Cab were saying. She was certainly saying that Mr. Wang had been a boyfriend in 2001. And while he was staying in their flat in 2000 or something, or yeah, 2001, 2002, they were in a romantic relationship. But then when he was arrested in March 2021, or around then, she went to do surety for him to give him bail. They were no longer in a relationship, but she let him stay in the apartment. And she was actually in China minding her parents in the aftermath of COVID when the first raid happened. And she was saying, look, that was the extent of my connection with him, just, you know, helping out a friend. And that's very much it. Any of the cash that was found was his, nothing to do with me. And he's not contesting this at all. So he wasn't represented. He didn't turn up. So, you know, it's in terms of the element of the case that pertains to him, which is, I think, the 14,000, I think there might be another bank account with a bigger sum of money. That's, you know, it's a home run. They've hit the back of the net there.
So
in terms. So
they,
I presume they will, because it wasn't contested. So, you know, the judge has nothing, there's no other evidence to consider apart from what Cab has done. But in terms of the 88, the shoes and the Hermes bags, I think the Montclair coat and all the rest, she was making a point, you know, that she's no other hobbies. This is what she does.
She likes to
collect fashion goods, designer goods. She suggested the Birkin bag came from an American website paid with US dollars. She bought it in 2018. So she was making the argument that, you know, how is this money laundering when I'm getting something from the States?
I've never heard of a Birkin bag.
Oh, Nicola, are you serious? Yeah. I can't believe it. Even the judge had heard of it. Actually, he was quite surprisingly interested in the Birkin bag. I happen to have read about it because I accidentally saw it while on news desk duty recently.
Birkin bag.
And there's two Californians currently suing the company.
They're obviously faker bakers because they're €27.44.
Well, the ones you're looking at there.
No. Now there's one here. €27,000.
Well, there you go. So
it's a Hermes.
Yes, but yes. Now the Hermes actually came up as well. Now we'll go back to the Birkin, but the Birkins are actually, Birkin has been sued by two Americans who say their policy of exclusively selling only to worthy customers is discriminatory, and that they're unfairly excluded.
No wonder I don't know anything about this stuff.
Well, I only know about it now because I've been going down to the Cab hearing, so I wouldn't have a clue otherwise.
You can impress at a dinner party from here on in.
Yeah, my wife would probably kill me then. I can sound like I'm out shopping for her.
Yeah.
Or, well, even myself for that matter. But look, no, it's not happening ever, I'd say.
So unsophisticated.
But anyway, so there was one of the things she complained about, that there was a pair of Jimmy Choo shoes which were valued at, I think, 1,100 or 1,200 quid. And she said, well, I actually got them at a sale for 150 euro and produced a receipt, which is these laser printer receipts. And if you know, if you have one long enough, the print disappears. So, yes. You know, and that's, you know, this. And she was making the point, look, all these shoes date for up until 2011, and that no more bought after that because she had a baby, and you don't carry a baby in your high heels. And she was making this point to the judge.
Amusing moments.
It depends on what you call amusing, but no, I know. Look, it's serious enough. I mean, she wasn't trying
to be funny.
No, she wasn't trying to be funny, but I mean, she did. Like, she appreciated the judge taking time, and there was a little bit of, you know, yeah, I share your pain with, you know, the how hard it is to get a Birkin bag, whatever that exchange was about, kind of. But her point anyway was that, you know, these were all legitimately acquired. She didn't do anything else, despite the fact that her declared income was 30 grand a year. Nice. And then she was kind of explaining she used to work as a tour guide for Chinese tourists who generally bring in at least 3 grand in cash because they need that to get through immigration, that they have to show they all have to support themselves. And then, you know, this money, she's saying this is part of the reason why some of this explains some of the cash lodgements in various city centre ATMs.
And
they weren't tips. They were giving her the money and then she'd go and buy some items and send them back to China for them rather than them, you know, bringing them back or whatever. That was the gist of it anyway, as far as I understood it. And that even kind of the one point, you know, unexplained, okay, so it was 1.7 million and then 1.5 of unexplained movement through the bank accounts, that this was explained by her as being basically it was circular money, that in some cases it was the money being sent by her parents, you know, a sale would fall through and she'd send it back and then they'd send it back again and they'd buy the first apartment for 89,000 and that was sold and money would be sent back and then it would be sent back again for the next apartment and when that was sold it would be sent back again and then there was a one-bed apartment in China that was sold and then there was a two-bed apartment in China that was sold. So, and these were coming over in kind of, you know, under the 45,000 number, so that wouldn't have to be go through all the extra paperwork, which sounds fair enough, I guess. You know, it's what you would do if you're legitimately sending money to your spoiled daughter. She mentions that she was spoiled by her parents and all the rest. So I mean, that was her attempt, I think, at explaining that. She complained that, you know, Cabot said that, you know, some of the documents that she got from the Bank of China, you know, were in Chinese. And she said, well, they had no problem understanding them when they were asking me questions about them. So, I mean, she was giving it loads back,
you know. So is that the two sides have been put forward and the judge will come back with
a decision? He'll reserve his judgment. I mean, he's got a few of them now. They're banking up a bit in cab. Yeah, so I mean, when he does these, they tend to be kind of written judgments, you know, unless it's a very straightforward case, like a single property or a single car or watch or something like that. He'll often say, look, there's no fear of danger or of the interest of justice being damaged, and I find in favour, like, you know. But in this case, I think because, you know, she put up her defense, and, you know, knowing the way he operates, he will go through them. And I mean, it's a pretty substantial file. I think there is a lot of banking transactions and they'll go through them. You know, obviously, you know, whatever about if you're trying to explain why you have shoes, you or I might get away with it. But when you're linked to a criminal gang, it's a bit different, you know, because of the way the legislation works, the onus of proof is on you, not on the state to do it. So, you know,
was there any value given to the 88 items in total?
In total, well, there was, I think there was something like 129,000 spent on the Platinum BT card. Over a period of time. You're making a face, Nicola.
Over the same amount of time?
Over a 10-year period. So,
okay.
I mean, that's 12 grand a year on designer goods.
That's a lot of money.
And you're earning 30 grand a year. So it's like more than half. Well, not more than half. But
so that was spent, so that's outside, or, you know, have they valued these 88 items together, these Jimmy shoes,
in total,
bag?
No, but that would have been included with that. I think...
But that's evidence of the spend, maybe, is it?
Yeah. And some of these items would be linked directly to that card. hard. I don't have the exact breakdown of, you know, 15,000 euro for this or that.
Yeah.
But I think it was, you know, if you're looking at 88 items, you know, 129,000. But I mean, it was probably more because, seeing as there was so much cash floating around.
And the items that you're mentioning are really high value. They're not just...
They tend to be, yeah. Now, she also claims that some of the items that were found were actually fakes that she bought in markets in China. Mm-hmm. And then there was a Louis Vuitton bag, which she said she bought in China and brought back. And she said, why would she bring it back to here if she was, you know, money laundering? This is her argument. And presumably this is what she has in her affidavits, which will all be considered by the judge. Mm. He decides to believe her
Did
case.
Did you say at the
not.
Beginning of this, she's working at Brown Thomas?
Yeah, it came out in the middle of it. And yeah, that she works there now as a part-time assistant.
She'd know her designer tags, all right.
I think she certainly does, yeah. I mean, the judge commented on it at the end. He says, you end up working for this after being their best customer.
Yes, I'm sure they weren't expecting that, Brian Thomas.
Well, like, look, put it this way. And I mean, it sounds like, I mean, if you're going to have some well-heeled tourists from China coming in to buy designer goods, which I'm sure they do, having a sales assistant who's, you know, able to talk the talk and all the rest
and
of
knows
it
the
is,
gear.
Is going to be... Is going
she
to
knows
be,
her Birkin bags, unlike me.
It's going to be good at her job, needless to say.
Well, look, that was an interesting case. That was well worth...
Yes.
Through other tortures, I'd say.
And no, it's not. I'm one of those weird people. I actually enjoy the old courtroom stuff, like, you know. And like, judges do like to go for their lunch break. So you do get to go for a lunch break, like,
have a little cup of coffee in the middle
for 50 minutes or look at your notes and try and remember what's going on.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Eamon. And that story will be up online. It was in the paper on Sunday.
Yes. And we're no doubt there'll be more.
Exactly. Thanks a million.
It's always a pleasure, Nicola.
You've been listening to Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com. Produced by Ian Mullaney and edited by me, Nicola Tallant. Research assistant is Claude Amini. If you like this show and love true crime, leave us a review. Or why not download the free SundayWorld.com app for lots more stories from Ireland and across the globe.
Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.